The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Flowing it, you are working more and more in it. Let this service be another service where you remind someone here of how much you love them and how much you want to do with them and how much you want to achieve with them and where you want to take them. Let levels be changed in this meeting. Let new heights be unlocked in this meeting. Let new doors be opened in this meeting. Let tangible, remarkable progress be made from this meeting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Did you leave your voice at home? Glory to God. Get a partner, tell the person three things that you should bring to church whenever you're coming to church. Three very necessary, three things. So I say your voice, when I said voice. Three things you must bring along to church. What are the three things? Okay, make it four. Number one, your... What else? No, sir. Jimmy, don't say your voice. Which other one? Your Bible. So do you have your Bible now? So let me see it. Glory to God. What was that song we used to sing? I have a wonderful track. Someone is saying, I carry the word of God in me. No, sir. It's the Bible we want to see. Do you have a Bible? Now, if your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, tell the person to buy a Bible by next service. Emphasis on buy. Say buy. I hope you're not carrying the Bible written. This Bible was presented to Mr. and Ms. Onishi on the question of their wedding. And you are the proof of that wedding. You're still carrying the same Bible. Do you have a Bible?
Yes,
now, buy a Bible. This week. A Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
Put it as your project for the week. Amen.
Amen.
Come and show me when you buy. Or show you anybody around you. Buy a Bible. And own it with pride. Say, Bible is no more cheap. That's why you should buy it. Can you see now? Do you have a Bible?
Yes,
do you read your Bible?
Yes, sir.
One of the major steps to reading your Bible every day is to buy one. I'm just telling you the truth. When you buy something, have you observed when you buy a book, you tend to read it. But when they give you the book, you may not read it. Say amen.
Amen.
So buy a Bible. Wave your Bible again. Intimidate your neighbor if he doesn't have. Okay. So maybe next week, what we're going to do on Sunday, if I remember that, is that we're going to say, pray people that have a Bible this way. Once I come up, people that don't have this way. Because you have to be serious with this whole thing. Which way should people have a Bible stay now? People that have Bible. We're going to say, pray this. We have to choose a. Or maybe people that have Bible can stand throughout the message. Since you are the walking Bible, let us read you. Since you don't want to buy a Bible, we want to be the Word of God. We want to read you. So buy a Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
Your phone is not your Bible. Say amen.
Amen.
Buy a Bible. And if you are ever going to use your phone for your Bible, I give you a recommendation. Buy a special tab for your study and buy Bible. You know, I mean, don't just download the free Bibles. You know, there is Bible you can buy. There is one you download for free. Spend for your growth. That's what I'm saying. Spend your money for your spiritual growth. Start by buying a Bible. If hospital growth is too important, then it's worth investing in. The least is to buy Bible. At least small Bible, not even serious Bible. By the time we start talking about diction, you know, those commentary, we are not even those simple things to buy. I'm finding out if your neighbor is using Gideon's New Testament Bible. Is it Gideon the person is using? That Gideon New Testament is what we do use. We go for far missions. You give them. Stop reading that thing. Buy your own. Say amen. How many of you will buy a Bible this week? Let me see. Raise your hand. No, raise it for real. I want to see. God bless you. Don't buy for anybody. Buy your own Bible with your money. And God is providing for you.
Amen.
Just slow down on how you eat abacha and some other things. Buy Bible in Jesus' name. Have your seats. Good morning. Glory to God. You know, I like saying serious things jokingly, but I'm really very serious. Buy a Bible, okay? If you cut down on how you eat certain things, you buy a Bible. All these are bacha. What other things? Shawarma. If you see it, pizza. If you have money. Shawarma. What are those things you guys eat? Or, not even eating. Slow down on how you recharge your phone. If you slow down on how you buy data, you buy a Bible. Amen. I found out that all these network providers, they've opened a new office on your head. And the way the data goes, and once it finishes, something in you feels that if you don't subscribe now, you're going to die. Amen. Let me give you, on Thursday, I'm going to come to this matter. This new month, try to do what I'm going to say. Try to be deliberate about finding out what takes your money more every month. You might be shocked. You may be data. You will be so shocked. Data for many of you. Transportation, if it is transportation and you are going to reasonable places, it's fine. Now, that's some you assess and it's okay. But if transportation, I find out where am I going that I'm not supposed to go to. All these come and see me in my house. Some places don't need to go. They just sit down at home. Because on Thursday, I'll be offering practical wisdom to handling the increase that God is bringing your way. Practical wisdom. One of them is what I'm saying. We're not saying buy Bible. Bible is looking like a big project. But what you've not observed is that the subscription you've done this month alone has bought two Bibles. And with the increase in data, whatever, some of you don't have money to subscribe. You've even borrowed. And you will pay it back. At the end of the day, you are spending your money. Buy Bible and write your name on it. Do you understand? If you so wish, bring out, sign my autograph on it. Just buy Bible. Just. Please just buy Bible. On a serious note now. Because if you've not even bought Bible, we're saying, Pastor has a new book called Keruso. Akoko, oh yeah, what a Bible and then where Keruso. You've not bought Bible. Keruso. Please buy a Bible. Generally, invest in your spiritual growth. What I believe is that anything that matters to you, you have to invest your money into it. There are a few things you have to invest in anything that matters to you that will convince you that matters to you. One of them is your money. The other one is your time. If your spiritual growth matters to you, invest your time into it. If you want your business to grow, invest your time, invest your money in it, it will grow. If you want your spiritual life to grow, same thing. Invest your time, invest your money, invest your energy, invest your strength, invest your ideas. It's going to go. So anything you invest in, we do well. So if you don't invest your spiritual growth, you are not going to grow. Buy Bible. Do you understand? Glory to God. Let me ask your neighbor, how many books do you have in your library? Do you have up to 10? Now, not your school library. Christian books.
And I make bold to say that I began to invest in my spiritual growth from my senior class, secondary school,
buying books.
And senior class is interesting because, of course, I had to, you know, sometimes they give you money to go to school, you trek home, save up the money, and you buy a book. Invest your spiritual growth. Things are not sudden. I am not suddenly a knowledgeable person. No. You invest in it, it's going to show. I'm not suddenly a prayerful person. You invest in it. If you invest your money, your time, your energy, what I'm trying to say is anybody can grow spiritually. Anybody can be a powerful man of God. Anybody. Once you invest in it, it will show. Once you invest, it will show. Once you invest, it will show. Your time, your energy, your money, your resources. That same way, anybody can be a good student. Anybody can be a good businessman. If you invest, there are some of you, on Thursday, I'm going to come with some cane. Is that okay? Spiritually. By my words. Some cane. So some of you, you're doing business. And you've never invested anything into the business you are doing. Not even to buy one business book. Not even one business book. Not any book on sales. And you are here shouting amen every time I'm praying. Now, what I'm saying now is the answer to that amen you shouted. Go and buy a book on sales. It will shock you. Now, people normally say, what do they want to say? I don't know. You don't know many things. Believe me, you don't know anything. So, invest. So, start with this one now. Buy Bible. Say amen. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
That's why we're going to have LMP very soon. And LMP is not free. We say, why would they put up a program and people should pay for it? Invest in your growth. That's why. There is no way in a year I will not have at least one meeting people should pay for. And it's deliberate. But I want to see how you are interested in your growth. Are you following me? So invest in your growth. Invest. Well, it's still part of what we're talking about, the increase of God, right? All round increase. God wants us to increase. On Thursday, we're looking at how that there are a few things that can limit God from giving you what he wants to give you. One of them is fear. So notice that when you allow fear into your life, it can limit what God wants to do for you and what God wants to do with you. What it means is that God can have big visions, but there are a few things that if you let into your life, it becomes a limitation. For instance, if you allow fear to take over your heart, you might not make the necessary moves you are meant to make. And to that, I would narrow down to begin to talk about a few things, just about four things that will help, that will serve as catalysts for the increase that God is bringing your way. Whenever God wants to bring an increase your way, there are a few things that he puts on the way to spoil you, to catalyze that process, to make sure that that increase is bringing your way comes to you quickly. The first thing that God does is that he gives you a vision. That's the first thing. He gives you a vision, a mental picture of where he's taking you to. That's how God begins with anybody. I've explained this before, but I want to say it again. He first gives you a mental picture, because that is how anybody will begin to increase. He first gives you a mental picture. When God called Abraham, the first thing he did with Abraham in Genesis 12 verse 1, he called Abraham and, you know, to get out of their father's house and all of that. In verse 2, he began to give him a picture. He said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. In verse 3, he said, I will bless them that bless thee. He was trying to show him. In chapter 15, he called him again and told him to go count the stars. But before chapter 15, in chapter 13, verse 14, when Lot left him, he began to speak to him again. He said, after Lot was separated from Abraham, God told him, lift up your eyes. Northward, southward, eastward, westward, verse 15. He said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it. What was he doing? He was painting a picture for him. So the first thing God does, and that's why many of you need to realize, that all those visions that you see when you pray, all those things you see, sometimes you're just in your room, and some things begin to, fantasies. You begin to just see yourself better than this. It is God trying to paint a picture. That's how God begins to tell everybody. He begins to paint certain pictures. Why? Because you need to accept what he's showing you before it eventually manifests. So in chapter 12, he told Abraham. Chapter 13, he promised him. In chapter 15, he told him to get up and go count the stars. That as many as the stars are, I'm going to make your children that number. In chapter 17, Philippians 17 from verse 1, he got a covenant with him in chapter 17. Glory to God. And went ahead to make promises upon promises to him. Genesis 17. And thank you, Lord Jesus. From verse 1, he said, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9. So he was now 99 years. God began to paint this picture in his heart from when he was 75. But he kept repeating it. That's how God works with us. He kept repeating it. When he was 99 years, he said, I will. And Lord said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. And I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And said, And God talked to him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. He began to tell him, if you go down, he began to show him how that he was going to make him big. So he gave him the same message many times. What was the point? Trying to let him see. The first thing God does, if he wants to change your level, is that he begins to show you things. He begins to show you things. Some of you will see it in your dreams. Some of you will see it after you pray. Some of you might just be meditating and those images are popping up. Right? You begin to see, your businesses in 3, 4, 5 places. Sometimes you just catch yourself and say, what am I even doing? I beg. You don't actually know. God is trying to show you that there is more I want to do, but you're not accepting it. And I gave an example in the first service. This is the same game the devil plays. Because I was talking to you about imagination. The same game the devil plays, he comes to you and begins to put pictures. Once you accept it, those things happen. An example, for instance, if the devil wants to get you to go sleep with a man or a woman, he will first begin to put, you notice you begin to fantasize about the woman, eventually you find yourself in immorality. But it started by him painting pictures. Are you what I'm talking about? That's the same thing that God does. So he begins to show, some of you, as when you're done praying, that's why when you're done praying, you might get words. Sometimes you're done praying, he shows you pictures. Sometimes while you're in a meeting, a man of God or even somebody meets you and tells you things. Sometimes you're not even praying, you're just in your room. Those images begin to pop up in your heart. God is trying to show you. You must catch that vision. Because if you don't accept it, God will not take it where you're going to. How do motivational speakers even say it again? Any future you cannot picture, you cannot capture. You cannot feature in the future if not pictured. My God. Now that's motivational quote, but then scripturally, how God works with people is that he shows them things. He will first show you things. And that's why there are some of you, as I'm saying this, there are a few things that God has shown you that you even thought. Sometimes you sleep. I was talking to someone. Sometimes you sleep. Why do your dream, you might find yourself praying for people in your dream. That you are not thinking about this. You are not planning. But you just find yourself praying for people. Find yourself preaching to people. God is painting the picture in your heart. Are you people I'm talking about? Yeah. Just find yourself praying for people. Preaching to people. All of that. That's one of the first signs that God began to show me that I'm going to use you. Before I ever knew I had anything to do with healing and all of that, I had a vision, one of those. I've told this story many times. I was sitting inside a chapel, standing, it's a chapel that had a rail. So I was sitting on the rail, but the rail wasn't low, so it was like I was standing still. And people were filing from the back. Some of them were carrying heavy loads. Some of them were sick. And as they were coming, I would touch them. They would get to us. Some of them were carrying loads. I would collect the load. So the line kept moving. They were moving this way. I've never been in a healing meeting or organized a healing meeting. But God began to show me pictures in my heart. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? That's how God operates. He begins to show you pictures in your heart. That's why sometimes you might just have one business, one shop, one location. But sometimes when you pray, you just begin to see. Sometimes you may not see. We begin to know that, okay, we can have an extra one here. Sometimes you don't even have 5 shops. But you're already getting an idea of how to manage 5 shops. God is painting a picture. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends?
That's how God begins with people. So he called Abraham and began to, I'm going to make you this, I'm going to make you that. How did God begin with Joseph? Same thing. He showed him a dream. And in that dream, he was a king. He was a leader. Are you following the point? Joseph had never been into politics. But God began to paint pictures of leadership. Now, that picture God showed Joseph about the sun and the moon and all of that bowing down to him, it wasn't about him dominating his brothers. It was just God telling him that you are going to lead one day. And some of you are having those, some of you to come as dreams. Some of you to come as just imaginations. I've told you, don't play with your imaginations. I follow him here. Because it is that same tool that the devil is using against that same imagination. After you imagine evil, it happens. After you imagine evil, it happens. Have you not seen that if you can learn that imagination to imagine and dwell on the pictures God is putting in your heart, it will eventually happen. I'm telling you, that's how God starts. He begins to show you pictures. Before he took them to the promised land, he showed them. How did he show them? He began to speak by Moses. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a, I get what I'm talking about. He began to show them. It is this. He painted the picture of promised land so much so that the Israelites could have drawn or described promised land to you. They've never entered it, but he was showing them. There are many things that God is lighting in your heart. And let me say this to you. Most times, thank you, Lord Jesus, those things that God will show you in your heart are bigger than you. If I didn't say most times, all the time. All the time. Are you following me? How did God give Mary a child? How did Mary carry Jesus? The angel met her and began to paint pictures in your heart. You shall conceive. You shall be with a child. And then when Mary was like, which one is this one? How can I? It took time. It was a big and impossible vision, but God had to bring us. If Mary never accepted it, go to that place, Luke chapter 1. He met her and said, you know, hail, you know, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and all that. Glory to God. And he said, who am I to have this kind of greeting? He said, you shall be with a child. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Glory to God. He shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest. What is God doing? That's actually what prophecy is. That's why when you pray, things begin to drop. And are you not amazed that those things that come to you, sometimes they're not things you're not even thinking about them. Sometimes you're thinking about them, but they're so big that you don't even know how to go about them, but they're just coming. Are you following me, friends? That's how God starts with us. So he said, he shall be great. Prosperity picture, verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, and forever and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall these things be? This thing you are painting to me is too much. I told him in the first service, I listened to Archbishop Benson that was many years ago, preach a message entitled, how to carry a vision that is bigger than you. Hallelujah. It's a message I'm going to preach one of these days. How to carry a vision bigger than you. God, and this was the story he used. Imagine you are Mary, never been with a man, and God is saying you're going to conceive. That vision is way above you. In fact, it's way above the realm of man. That a woman can conceive without beating a man. That there are things that God is showing you that looks as ridiculous as this statement. But that's how God begins to change a man's level. Are you getting the point? That now you have one bike, now you have one keke, now you have one bus. But God is showing you, you just see yourself where you're controlling 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 of those vehicles. I wonder what is happening. Sometimes you snap out of it and say, let me just face my business. But then those things keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. Don't throw those dreams away. You know, the problem is, I don't make much of, let me say this. I'm talking about dream of the night now. Dreaming. Dreams are not, it's not a gift of the spirit. You know, right? Huh? There's no gift of the spirit called dream. Is there? I even now quiet. What are the nine gifts of the spirit? Dream? Interpretation of dream? There's no gift of the spirit like that. However, it can be a vehicle through which the gifts of the spirit can be communicated. What that means, you can have a dream and then
a dream can communicate a word of knowledge. Do you understand? You can see a dream about what God, you can even communicate a word of wisdom. But listen to this. You must be very intelligent about how you handle your dreams. I don't know why God is bringing this. This thing come up in the first service. You must be very intelligent. Because dreams come from different sources. There are actually three major sources that dreams come from. There is God. That is when God is trying to use a dream to show you something. Are you getting the point now? Then there is the devil. Satan can invade people's dream. Totally. What I mean is, I've given an example. You might find someone struggling with sexual addiction, and he's winning the addiction. He for like 6 months has never done it. You know what the devil will do? The devil will project a dream, and he sees himself having sex with someone. The devil is trying to remind him. Have you forgotten that we used to do this kind of thing? I know what I'm talking about. The devil can project such dreams. Then there is a third kind of dream, which is just there. That one is dream from your memory. You can finish playing ball, and some of you are dreaming about. You can dream about a match. Do you understand? Maybe there's Chelsea wants to play. Chelsea has a match coming up. Midweek, Abby. One final. Now, if you're Chelsea fan, pray that you will win. I will not spare you. Because you are just laughing as we are talking about Man U on Thursday. Now, you know, a Chelsea fan can so meditate on this kind of match and begin to dream about it. Has it ever happened to you? It can happen. Now, that one is nothing. That's what I'm saying. You must be very intelligent with your dreams. When a dream is from the devil, satanic projection, I tell you what to do. Don't make a fuss about it. If you're going to do anything about it, just rebuke it. Shut it down. Because most times when the devil brings those pictures, it is not happening. It is what he wants to happen. So he wants to come to you by fear. Are you what I'm talking about? I mean, you can see a dream where somebody died and it's not God showing you. It might be the devil. Now, but when the dream is from God and there is a message in it, that's where you begin to interact with it. And trust me, if it is of God, there are simple ways you can know a dream is of God. If it's of God, you are not going to, when you search your spirit, you will get something in your spirit. When you wake up and all you have from a dream waking up are fears, I can tell you, God didn't bring that in. Satan is trying to project something into your life. Shut it down. Because I told you, were you on Thursday? God doesn't operate with fear. He doesn't. So, but when you stand and look, what led me to this is, many of us interact more and believe more with dreams that the devil is projecting to our hearts than what God is bringing. Let me give you a perfect example now. If you see a dream where you are, living in a big house, driving Rolls Royce with security all over the place. When you wake up, what will you do? Sincerely, I know you're a believer, but what are you going to do? You will just laugh. I beg. You don't look for food and eat. You might even check your temperature. Am I sure I'm fine? But if in the same night you say a dream where 18 masquerades are pursuing you, you will wake up. And face the devil. You see the point? Somehow, you are interacting with what the devil is bringing your way. So, is it that you cannot own a Rolls Royce? Huh? Immaculate Rolls Royce. Is that you cannot own it? You know, the point is, we don't take those things. If you see a dream now, and in your dream, you are just praying for people, lay hands on them, preaching the gospel. You just wake up and say, thank you, Jesus. And you move on with your life. But should you see a dream where you are swimming inside water and doing meeting with about 5 people? You book an appointment with the pastor. The pastor is, I think I've joined secret cult. Let me tell you, people. Most of those dreams that people are seeing where they are having meeting, all of them are just mental programming. There is nothing there. There are many unnecessary deliverance cases that people handle. And you are just wasting your time because it's not even existing in the first place. See, so we are flying in the dream. When you say fly, why didn't you think that God is taking you to new heights? Why didn't it cross your mind? He says, it's you that's flying. What is it? Who even told you that witches fly? Now I'm asking, who told you that witches fly? Do you have any proof that witches fly? Do you have a proof? You actually don't have any proof that witches fly. You have stories here and there. But there is no proof. I'm not saying witches don't fly. I say you don't have proof. So why will you now see yourself flying and say, I was flying like bird? Wouldn't you want to fly in real life? You know, the point is, sometimes we interpret dreams from what we have filled our minds with. So because you're always thinking devil, demon, you always, so you are just finding yourself attracted to the pictures the devil is painting in your heart. What I'm trying to show is that same way the devil is trying to paint pictures, God is also painting the picture on your heart. Sometimes you just find yourself just sitting on your own, and all that is playing in your head is a picture of where you are successfully married with a good man, raising your kids in a comfortable. You just snap out and say, no, God is trying to show you something. You have to accept that image. Accept that thing. Are you following what I'm saying? Accept it. Because that's how God begins his job with anybody. Right? Before this church started, God showed me pictures. Because it took God. God really went through a lot trying to convince me to pastor this church. Yeah, because I didn't want to. So he just kept showing me pictures and pictures and pictures and pictures, different things. He even showed me building. He showed me things. He showed me how, you know, all that. That's how God works. Because you have to first see what he's seeing, accept what he's showing you, then we can start. Are you getting blessed, anybody here? But that's how God starts. So he shows you a picture, you know, tells you what he wants to do. Sometimes he will talk to you. Sometimes it will just come up in your heart. Especially when you pray. Pay attention to the ideas, the pictures that come up after you've prayed for a very long time. I mean, when you pray about anything. That's why one of the easiest places to conceive a dream and to see what God wants to show you is in prayer. Now, you might not be praying about anything. All those 3 hours prayer, we say come for prayer drive, you just come here, tired there, pray. Watch out for the things that rise in your heart after such prayer meetings. Because once you do that, God begins to show you. What I found out with God, that when you spend time with him, he'll show you things. Things he actually wants to show you. And he'll begin to show you incredible, impossible looking things. Yeah. Are you following me, friends? So pay attention to that. So he's bringing that in, because that vision is what will spoil you to the next place he's taking you to. The next major thing that will catalyze your growth and your increase and all of that are relationships. So when he shows you pictures, he begins to bring relationships your way. Relationships are a major catalyst for increase. So when God wants to change a man's level, first thing is he shows the man pictures of what he wants to do. As that man is accepting it, he sends the man. Oh my God. He sends the man to people that will bring that to a reality. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, I think chapter 13 and verse 20. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So if God wants to increase a man in wisdom, one of the things he might do is to bring him around wise people. That's why you must pay attention to relationships that are around you. Because some of you, it may not be that God will bring new people to your life. It might be that God will point out certain people that you have been ignoring around you. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, there are some of you that can clearly testify that you met someone in your life and became close to someone and your prayer life got better. Is that possible? You met someone and your study life got better. So God wanted to increase you, and he brought and notice before you met that person. Let me ask some of you. You met someone at any time in your life, and your prayer life or your study life, your spiritual life got better. Let me see one. Let me ask you. Before you met that person, has there been that desire in your heart? Huh? God has been painting pictures. That's how it starts. You just find yourself, when you see people pray, you're just looking at them. Ah, see how they pray. I wish. He's painting pictures. Are you getting the point? Then, the next thing, he introduces someone. When he was telling Mary, Luke chapter 1, go back there. When he was telling Mary in Luke chapter 1, he said, you know, you shall have a child. Mary was like, how can these things be? And he said, he told her, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And all of that. And that Holy Spirit shall be born of this child. Because he was trying to convince Mary. Now see the next thing that follows. But said this. He said, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth. She also has conceived a son in her old age. So what did he do? He referred her to someone that can encourage her faith. That if Elizabeth can carry a child in old age, Mary, this thing can happen. Are you good what I'm talking about? So you notice after this encounter, Mary visited Elizabeth. There are certain companies that God will bring you into. Ah. And some of you are already in those companies, but you do not realize. I was asking a question in the first service that a few persons said that I know, and some of them even admit, that it was when maybe they came into this church and met one person or another person, not only their spiritual life, even their finances began to change. There is someone you can meet and will just give you information and you become better. Now, hear this. Let me please correct this before I continue. This teaching does not call for moving from place to place and lobbying for relationship. Because God, now, the blessing of God, Bible tells us, he makes rich and it has no sorrow. So, the person that God is sending your way is not the one that you'll be running up and down for and then worshipping him. And then he's insulting you and matching your head. And you're saying, I'm just going to be here because God has sent this person to me. It's not true. I get what I'm saying? It's not true. I'm not saying when you meet the person, you guys should be so fine. But someone that will be intimidating you, taking from your esteem, talking you down, you say, I'll just be here because God is preparing for something big. No, no, no. Are you following me? When God sends such people, some of them are already around you. There are some of you praying for, Father, I want my spiritual life to be better. There are a few people that are talking to you now. And they are doing well spiritually. If only you can maximize of what God has put upon their life. And just get close to them. Maybe tell them, I really want to start praying better. Some of them are already around you. Some of you are praying, I just want much more finances. But then, there are people around you who are even doing well financially. There are people around you that know a few things. They can teach you. So he said, if you walk with the wise, you become wise. So the angel sent Mary to Elizabeth. Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. There is a way to walk, there is a way to stand, there is a way to sit. There are places you don't walk, there are places you don't sit. And it's not about the location, it's about people who are there. He talks about the ungodly, sinners, and discomfort. Give me another translation like NLT. Because I want to show you something here. He said, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. There are people whose finances have gone down because they met the wrong people. I gave an example in the first service. You're a young man here, and then you met someone, and every time you guys are talking about drinking, alcohol. That's the reason every Sunday, every Tuesday, you're burning your money on those things. If you can shift from that company, your finance, you know, I shared this story with you guys if you can remember. I went to a village many years ago, like a couple of years back now, over, can I say 17 years or so, and I went there to preach. And we met this young man, hard working, but you know, like hard working. You know what I mean? Hard working man doing a hard work. Not this kind of, you know, hard work. All this, you know that kind of work. But every day he makes that money, he will go drink every day. He will drink and eat pepper soup. Every day. Every day. So that can happen Until we met him, he got born again. Of course, he had to quit drinking. So it was a whole lot of struggle. But do you know, he quit that drinking 3 months after. His life changed. He was able to buy then, back then, 2 months or so, a motorcycle. You know, one motorcycle, the days of Qatar motorcycle and all that. He was able to buy one. So when I mean his life, I'm not saying he became a billionaire. No. But then he began to see that all those small, small money he was giving those guys every day could amount to something. And sometimes it is one person in your life, one person, that is making sure that you are being useless. If you stand around sinners, so people just meet people, you meet a friend, every time, women, think of all the money you've invested, because it's a foolish investment. You've invested on strange women. I said this in the first service, I want to say the second service. Young men, praise God. Brothers, praise God. If you want to be rich, quick in this life, stay away from strange women. Tell a brother around you, any brother around you, you want to be rich very quickly. Tell that brother, stay away from strange women. Say, so how do we know strange women? You know, I preached a message on this last year. When strength is not enough. The story of Samson. What destroyed Samson? He didn't know when to stop. And that's the problem. You know, all those small, you just buy shawarma, you just buy pizza, you buy wig, you buy rubbish. If you can address this matter, you see women, you see alcohol, you see drugs. Any young man that can be free from these things, whatever money he gets will amount to something. Yeah, drugs. This one, and you keep from marijuana to all those rubbish. Not only are you affecting your health, you are draining your pockets. The joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Now, see the next verse. He said, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth him day and night. Verse 3, what will happen to that person? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So the secret to this man's prosperity is his relationship. Do you see that? The secret to how this man will blossom will be his relationship. There are students that will do badly in their studies because of one person they are rolling with. One person. And that's why when God wants to change your level and bring increase, he will begin to address your relationships. Genesis 13 verse 14. The Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot has been separated from him. You say, why? You know, when the Lord spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, hear this, I'm going to say this. God told him to leave his house, his father's house, to leave everybody. But out of care and concern, he took Lot along. Are you following me? He took Lot along and they journeyed. Of course, the prosperity on Abraham began to rub off on Lot. But Lot couldn't manage that relationship. So Abraham said, okay, fine, go. So immediately Lot left. The Lord told him, Bible said, after Lot, God said, lift your eyes. So actually, there are people that you cannot tag along with on your journey to destiny. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I said this on Thursday, jokingly. All this, because he has grown, he has left us. It's not good to abandon people that were there for you when you are small, that you are friends with. But let me tell you, if you do not begin to grow, your friends will outgrow you. Did you know what I said? If you do not begin, let me be very frank. I had friends when I said, let me use spirituality, let me not use money, because money is a touchy one. But I had friends when I started my Christian journey. All of us, you are friends at a time. But when I began to do more with my spiritual life, now some of them cannot be my friends now. Because we can't talk at the same level. Right? I'm talking about nations. Some of them as you know, that's why if you do not begin to grow, it will get to a time that some people you have to be necessarily cut off from them for them to make progress. Are you know what I'm saying?
watch that relationship. There are people that have been tagging along with you for a very long time. Ensure that you are in the company where the Lord has put you for your increase. Ensure. Ensure. Because that's one thing God is going to begin to do for you. Bring you to people, cut you off from people. Praise God. And again, I'm not talking about running up and down looking for relationships. There are healthy relationships that some of you God has brought around you. Sometimes when the Lord brings you to a local church, the first thing He does is He begins to orchestrate yourself to meet certain people and to tag, to connect with certain people. They will help you grow. They will help you get better. They will be there to challenge you. You know, there are friends that challenge their friends. I'm not talking about unhealthy competition. Friends that just challenge you. That you look at their lives, you just want to do better. Not because you are competing or not because you are envious, but you just see what they're doing. You just say, what is happening? Let's just do this. God is bringing them to your way. And you must maximize those friendships. And that's what the kind of person you should be anyway to other people. I was giving an example in the first service. You need to marry the kind of wife or the kind of husband that will help your prayer life. Not just by telling you pray. But then, because by the time you wake up by 5, she's already doing. If it happens for 2 weeks, you yourself, you wake up one day, begin to do your own. I get what I'm saying. My pastor was telling us one day in a meeting, was talking to couples how can help themselves get better in their devotion. He said, just tell your wife or your husband to hold you accountable. And if you've told your wife, you'll be praying for 1 hour. And then you wake up by 6 and you do shombro, shombro, yambro, yambro. And he sees 20. And you are trying to lie that she's just looking at you. Emoji. You know, that kind of support system where your prayer life can get better. That's how God begins to increase people. That's why for some of you, the increase that God will bring your way is to take certain people from you. Let me tell this people this side. The increase that God will bring your way will be to what? Do you remember our mathematics on Thursday? There are people that are in your life that have to go before you make progress. There are people that are in your life that if they leave you, you will increase. I gave an example. What do we use again? 5 minus 4 is what? It's 9. Is plus 9. So if you have a minus 4 in your life and you are 5 and you minus that minus 4 from your life, you become 9. No, honestly, I'm joking with this, but it's actually perfectly true. Right? Lot left Abraham. Abraham became bigger. I think about that. People that are just there to take from you. To take from you. So if you minus a certain negative energy from your life, it may be. That's why the growth that God will give some churches, and God did it for us here. And He does it for us from time to time. Sometimes the growth that God gives a church is to make some people leave the church. You know what I said? And the church will grow. That's why there is meaningful addition and necessary subtraction. And it must be happening in your life from time to time if you are going to grow. Necessary subtraction. There are some people that live your life and you are crying. And God is looking at you like, why are you crying? I just took away your problem. And this goes to, it even goes to romantic relationships. There are some relationships that have to end before your spiritual life is erode. There are some that have to end. You're a young man. You're still trying to. I'm not saying anything. I'm just preaching my Bible. You're still trying to make it. You're making some money, trying to build. And you have this girl you call your girlfriend. And every time you get 200,000, she wants wig. She wants this. She wants this. I will not say anything. I'm just preaching. Every time you get 500,000 and she knows you have got 500,000. She wants a new phone. She wants this and she wants that. Every time. not saying it's bad to give to your girlfriend. She's your girlfriend. I'm only asking you, if you keep giving like that, when will you be able to build, to even have stability, so that tomorrow if she needs 10 million, you can give her? Because she will not even allow the 1 million to reach 10 million. So when we, I know what I'm talking about. I know that there are some of you, if this, what I'm going to say hurts you, just leave it, you'll understand it later. There are some of you that have to put some kind of control even around how you spend with family and friends. But if you understand it, leave it. Yeah, you're earning 200,000, but every time you're sending money, in fact, you send money, you send 150, you send 180. The problem is, you are not actually growing. So, what some of you need to do is to put a control around how you send money home. Decide that you'll be giving to your parents 15% or 20% of your income. Every month, send it. When they call again, there's no money. Until you build and you are established. Now, you may not like this counsel, but don't worry, later you will like it. Because how would you ever establish that your company won't establish? Did you hear what I'm saying now? Because there are certain things that have to cut off. There are certain, some of you have friends, male friends, and you're a man. Every evening, let us go and drink. And you're the one sponsoring the drinking. You, that don't have money. Every evening. He said, I just buy a drink now. When guys hang out, we buy a drink for guys. I'm wiser. I am, I'm telling you. There are people that may need to live your life. Yes. There are people that take from you. There are relationships. And I'm talking about men and how women are taking from men. But you know, the table has turned though. There are now men. That's such a disgraceful thing. There are now men who are in relationship and are sapping a woman dry. Jesus. It's really shocking. Say, you know, I love you. You know, I love you. I'm working on something. I'm working on it. And you say, you are giving. No. So, sister, God is saying there's a new height for you now. So, that thing has to stop. So if I stop giving him, he will leave me. You've seen the answer. The secret is, don't let him leave you. Leave him. You will feel better. Because, you know, sometimes, and let me say this to you, if you do not leave that relationship, I'm going to tell you, under the power of God, it's going to end very soon. And it will be very disastrous. Because the point is, yes, it's going to end because God, by his own hand, will cut you off from that person. Because he means well for you. Keep Anuru now. You know, I've sat with a lady that when her relationship ended, she started, she was crying. All she was recounting is, all I've invested in this man. All the money I've spent. Do you know I should have had a big business by now? Just looking at her. I said, if I told you that time, would you have agreed? Okay, what led us to that? Beware of sinners. There are people that are around you to reduce you. That same way, there are people that are around you to increase you, to add to you. When Saul received the anointing to become king, Samuel told him, on your way, you shall meet certain men prophesying. He said, when you meet them, you too shall prophesy. Because his interaction with those guys will make him a prophet. Genesis 30 verse 27, Laban said to Jacob, he told Jacob, because Jacob was trying to leave the business. Jacob has been his employee. I was trying to leave. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. I have observed that this blessing I'm enjoying is not actually me, it is you. So what did he do? He made him a shareholder in the business, just so that he can stay. That's why, so there are people that are blessed because there are people in their lives. Genesis 39. Verse 5, the story of Joseph. The Bible said, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian, that's the house of Potiphar, because of Joseph. So there are, every time God wants to increase you, He will first change. He will start by changing and just. That's why there are some of you that's been a design. That's why you even joined this church in the first place. That's why you started coming. So you don't even know what is happening, but you just find yourself coming around. God is trying to reorchestrate some things in your life. Some of you notice that because you are coming to this church and you are becoming a little more churchy, some people are leaving you. Some people know they follow you, talk again. That is God working. Yeah. You don't cry over saying anything. That's God working. Say that one, don't they do church? It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Say amen. Amen. And you will see how everything will come together. Everything will come together. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Friend, relationships will make you better. You know, I'm just looking at, let me not, where should I be looking so that people will not know who I'm talking about? Because I'm going to tell a story now. I've told it a few times. How some brothers in this church came to me one time and told me that they wanted to go and start doing Yahoo. They came. Amen. And I wonder what they were expecting me to tell them. They were in my house. They came to the pastor. Just which year was that? 2021. I wanted to ask them now. Which year was that? They told me, "Want to cancel the Yahoo?" And I just smiled. And I told them, "Let me say this to you. Every young boy you know who is not a believer, I was telling you guys yesterday, Abby. Every young guy who is not a believer is either doing Yahoo, has done Yahoo, or is planning to do. Do you know why? Just by the virtue of relationship. So when they came to me, they just sat in my office, at home. I just smiled. I just said, well, it's not bad to do Yahoo. You know what I mean? I'm checking a few things. I'm checking that if you hustle now, you know that, example I normally give you guys, if you hustle now and you raise 1 million, and as they're celebrating that you've gotten the money, someone takes that money from you. Maybe you get the point. Someone might appear, assist them, take your money. How will you feel? And they said, we're going to feel very sad. I said, first of all, I'd like you to think of how those people that you're going to be taking from will be feeling. I said, number two, will someone take that amount of money from you and you let the person go free? Huh? If somebody takes, if you have 1 million, somebody takes the 1 million. Trust me, anything you are worshipping. If it is God you are worshipping, anything you are serving, you will report to that thing. That's why you notice that most of those guys, when the money comes into their hands, it's always a cycle. Money comes, money goes. You know why? They're laboring on their cause, but they don't know. Not cause. Cause is because anybody. Now, I'm a believer. I'm a new creation man. That's the only reason. I won't curse you. But 95% of people can take their money. And people who know, some of them even go and say, they will take 20 naira. You know, there are some dangerous idols around on soccer that I can consult with 15 naira. Say, onye obuna nwere ego mu. Chore. That's all. Anybody that takes my money, pursue the person. You now find the money comes in, you invest. It does be a cycle. But what leads people into that is simple relationship. Meeting people you shouldn't meet. Now some of you, God will necessarily take those people from you or take you from them. Say amen.
Amen.
God will necessarily have to make you stop smoking by taking some people from your life because He wants you to be better. So that's how God brings increase. Then He'll begin to add other people to your life. You just find that people just, you guys, you just notice there's this lady or there's this guy that you just want to be talking to the person every time. Not because you are in love or anything. Just go meet the person. You guys are always talking Bible, talking church. That attraction is that God is calling. Increase is calling. Are you people I'm talking about? Increase is calling. Increase is calling. Increase is calling. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You will not miss your men. You won't. Because God is working out something. You won't miss it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then the next thing that will catalyze increase, that will bring about, that will fast track your increase, is prayer. Your prayers. The prayerlessness of man is the one of the biggest limitations of God. One of the things that limits God from doing what he wants to do in a man's life is when the man doesn't pray. Yeah. You know why? Because God has a will. When you pray, what you are doing in prayer is that you are saying to God, I agree with what you want to do. So by not praying, you are not giving God anything to work with. So let's look at how prayer works. Prayer is, God is saying, well, I've seen this, okay, let me give a perfect example. How one day I asked my dad for, I came back because they pursued us home for school fees. So I came back. When I came back home, and my dad was like, why are you home? I said, we've not paid our school fees. And he said, why have you not paid your school fees? My mother, I'm like, what is this man saying? Why have I not paid my school fees? He said, because you did not give me school fees. And he said, did you ask me? I was very bold as a child. Did you ask me to give you school fees? I was like, do I need to ask you to give me school fees? You know what he was trying to show me? The fact that someone has a will. You know you can want to do something for someone, but he just has to come to show that he wants to accept what you want to give. So in prayer, prayer is not an attempt to make God to do something for you that God never wanted to do. God already has a will. He wants to increase you. He wants to change your level. But you must pray to show him that you agree. Look at that story. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we read the story of Jabez. The story of Jabez. The Bible said Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now when you read this verse, you think he was born like that. But no. He wasn't born like that. The Bible said his mother called his name Jabez because she bare him with sorrow. She bare him with sorrow. And then in verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, my God, and that thy hand might be with me. He prayed for increase. The last part of the verse said, and God granted him that which he requested. If you pray for increase, God will give you increase. So, look at how it works. You've seen pictures in your heart. God is bringing some men to you. Now, take those pictures God showed you in your heart and begin to pray with them. Father, you showed me this. Yeah. Take those pictures that God has shown you in your heart and begin to walk with them. Begin to pray with them. So Jabez prayed. So I wish somebody can take up his business and pray. Take up his ministry and pray. Take up his career and pray. The Bible said, in all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. He will bring it to pass. In all your ways. I think that's Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. And so if you want to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to understand in verse 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. So anything you want to start, just pray. Stay in prayer. Prayer is both how you know what you should do and what will make it happen. Because prayer arranges events. Prayer orchestrates events. I believe that if you've not started praying over any matter, you've allowed just the devil to win in that place. Because nothing will change until a man prays. Yeah. That is the power God has given you upon the earth. That is the power God has given you over your own life. Somebody will say, well, do I need to pray? Can God just see that I have a problem and just solve it for me? If God just sees you have a problem and just does it for you, what it simply means is that God has invaded your own personal will. It means he's overriding your personal choices. So God wants to know that you want what he wants for you. Come on, church. Are you following me this morning? And so you pray. You pray. You pray. Things will change. I say things will change. Now, if we can pray, things will change. Yeah. Does a pastor want to see increase in his ministry? He must begin to pray specifically for that kind of increase. Because it's where you pray. as in a conversation with my spiritual father recently, and I just asked him a question, something but I just wanted to ask him. I said, sir, increase church growth a lot. How does it come? He said, the first thing, prayer. He said, because every other thing you will ever do, you have to pray first. You have to pray. Every kind of increase is from prayer, because every physical victory must have its root in something spiritual. That's why you must pray. When last did you pray over your business? When last did you pray over your career? When last did you pray over your studies? When last did you pray over your finances? You've just been reading and reading and reading. When last did you pray? When last did you pray? Pray and believe in your prayers. So Jabez prayed that you will increase me. Oh yes. Give me like NLT of this verse. Let's read together the first part of it. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go together like a mass choir. Oh, that you will bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. What happened? God granted him his request. If you ask for increase, you will have increase. Give me Message Bible. Message was more specific. He said, Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. Bless me, oh bless me. Give me land, large tracts of land. Can you be more specific like that to your prayer? I'm asking that this year, two more branches for my business. This year, two more. I know what I'm talking about. Be more specific like that. I'm asking that this year, two more jobs to the one I'm doing. That this year, much more increase I receive. I'm praying that this year, two more streams of income. That you will increase me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every kind of increase that God wants to give you, prayer will bring it your way. Without prayer, you are not cooperating with God. And the last thing is the prophetic blessing. The prophetic blessing. So there is prayer and there is the blessing. I love you, Lord. For your man. Just sing from your seat. Oh, yes. All my. Ooh. From them. Oh, yes. I love your voice. Malandora Batayaga. In darkest nights, in the. Hey, you. I've known you as a father. Know you as a friend. When you pray, what I see God beginning to do is begins to bring people out. That is the power of the prophetic blessing. Prophetic blessing. That is when God raises a man over you, and the man begins to speak over you. You know, I was telling them in the first service, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 20, how that the Lord, you know, he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophet, so shall you prosper. And the Lord said to me, did you observe that it was a king giving this instruction? Like Jehoshaphat gathered his people, just like they've come to battle. He gathered, this was an address to his soldiers. I thought when you stand with the soldiers, you should be discussing what strategy with them. He told them, I just have one strategy. Believe the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe his prophets, you shall prosper. Ay, 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 ay. Because there are certain battles that it takes a prophetic voice, someone that God has said over your life to win. Please don't miss what I'm going to say to you. Okay, I know this is preached wrongly in many places, but I want you to hear it. It's not every battle that God has designed that you will have to fight alone. If the sheep can win every battle, there will be no need for a shepherd. I get the point. That's why there are seasons in your life that God's man will speak over you. How did Jacob increase? Isaac spoke over him. Remember that story now? He blessed him, and Jacob left the land with nothing. He told Esau, "I passed over Jordan with only my walking stick." He said, "I've come back two full companies." How does that happen? How does a man leave his house with nothing and come back wealthy? Because a man spoke. And listen to what I'm going to say. What I'm talking about is not just about anybody praying over you. I'm talking about your prophet, your pastor. What God does is that He gives every man someone that will speak, that will stand over him as a father. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, He said He gave some apostles, prophets, and all that. How it applies in the original is that He gave men as gifts. So what it means is that, for me, Pastor Henry, that is a man that has been given as a gift to me. His name is Reverend Peter Ayalabi. Yeah. Now to you, there is a man that has been given as a gift to you. His name is Pastor Henry Nyedikachi. That's how God works. He gives men as gifts. Are you following me? So He gives. So I am one of the blessings you received in Christ. So ministers are spiritual blessings. Come on. I get what I'm talking about. So when they say, what one of the things He gives are the spiritual blessings that He gives men. And I understand it, and I'm telling you. That's why every believer should have a church and have a pastor and have someone. So that's no kwechirigi like this. You know where to go to. Everybody should have one. That's why false prophets are living large, because there are many churchless Christians. So because they don't have anybody that's submitted to them, whether there's a problem, they go from place to place. That's what I'm saying. I don't raise a church where people move from place to place, where people move from program to program looking for what is not lost. And I was teasing some of my people yesterday. I was like, there are many programs going on in town and all of that. Why don't you guys run to all those meetings? I find that some of them are not even aware. I'm not against you going to those meetings, right? I'm just saying, you must know that everybody can give you food, but you have a mother that cooks for you. See what I'm saying now? Everybody can give you food. You know, you can eat from Kilimanjaro. You can eat from what are all those nice places? Roots, Nochi, all those places. You can eat from anywhere, right? But you have a place you eat from. You must know your home. And make sure you have one that carries the anointing, that can speak you from here to the next place. What I'm telling you is a practical thing. So whenever I want to start anything, whenever you see me, we're about to enter a new phase in my life or in this ministry or in my family, first of all, God begins to give me pictures. I begin to connect to some people, and I begin to pay attention. Then I begin to pray. Before we set out, I must tell my dad. I say, pray. It's my pattern. It's not. I was given an first service. Even from the first day we ran tests and found out, okay, we were expecting a baby and all of that, the first thing, before anybody, I wrote to my pastor. And my wife wrote to my pastor immediately. And then he spoke a word every step on the way. But I thought, when I wrote it, we wrote it. You know why? He said, "But sir, can you not pray?" Well, I can pray. Do you understand? But now, it's not every. There are certain things that God has designed that a man will have to stand in prophetic office to do for you. And it's fine if you just agree with that. Look at that. He said, "Believe in the Lord your God." Second Chronicles 20, verse 20. Uzziah 12, verse 13. He said, "By a prophet, the Lord led Israel out of Egypt. By a prophet was he preserved." Not by the Lord, by. So that's why everybody, this to save you, must have someone you are submitted to. I was given an example in the first service All these things, people go from place to place looking, give me what? I'm looking for a what? I want to tap. I want to scoop. I want to connect. All those things are not necessary. Now, if there are, if you go for a meeting and there is a man of God there that is blessing you, receive the blessing. Is that okay? Receive the impartation. Open up your heart. But at the end of the day, you should know where you belong. What is waka about? It's causing more problem. I do meetings here. And when we do meetings, we tell you to invite other people from other churches. When they come, they return back. I don't sit down in counseling over anybody's member. In fact, I cannot give anybody's member a counsel that will alter his life. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't counsel anybody's member. Maybe that's not my son. On a major ministry matter. I can't tell a pastor now that's not under me, it's time for you to come find an auditorium. It's time for you to branch. I can't say that. Do you know what I'm saying? So why? The things of God work with spiritual authority. The fact that Jacob spoke over Joseph does not mean every old man can speak over Joseph. Every old man is not your father. I know what I'm talking about now. So I actually know my place of authority. I'm not someone that is just all over the place and every hand is jumping on my head. No, sir. I know that God has sent a man to me. God did not send my pastor's pastor to me. That's my pastor's pastor. Is not my grandfather. He's my pastor's pastor. My pastor is my father. And I have nothing I'm looking for from my pastor's pastor. Do you feel what I'm saying now? Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anything I'm going to send my pastor's pastor to be blessed, it has to be that my pastor said, maybe I went to a program and my pastor invited him. I'm going to sit down and get blessed. Or he tells me, you guys register for this training he's doing. I'm going to do that. Like some of our people here, some trainings that my spiritual father did recently, I told my pastors here to register. And all of them went to the training. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not insecure or anything. But I'm talking about spiritual order and authority. Are you following me, friends? That's why I want to say to you, I said it in the first service, if you go for a meeting or you meet a man of God and that man of God gives you a prophetic word that is a life-defining counsel. I mean, something about marriage. Maybe he meets you and tells you, that person you are dating now is not the will of God for you. Leave her. Or meets you and says, who is in Kiru? That inquiry you don't want to talk to, she's the will of God. Anytime you get that kind of life defining counsel, two things you're going to do. Check it with your spirit man. But then please, come and tell me. Now, I'm not trying to claim superiority, but I said in the first service, even in medicine, that is what you call medical history. Before a doctor begins to treat anybody, you have to ask for the person's medical history. Is that not true? What is medical history? I want to check what the doctor has been treating you. What does he have to say about you? I told you of how a prophet prophesied one of my sons and told him it was time for him to go and start ministry. He's a respected prophet and I respect him. I honor him. But when the guy told me, I'm not insecure as a pastor. But I'm not someone you can easily bamboozle with. I said, that man that told you that thing, I know him. He's a powerful man of God. Right? But it's not time for you to start ministry. And I guess the guy went to that meeting wearing suit. So I told him, no doubt there is a call of God upon your life, but please. I get the point. And at the time we were talking, brother has not been up to 1 year in the faith. Now it takes someone like me that knows his medical history. I get the point. I just told him, I said, no. Port Harcourt here. I should have mentioned this in the place, but I'm already saying it. A man of God was serving under his father in the Lord and was pastoring a branch of the church, doing very well, massive work he was doing. And they invited another man of God from the states, you know the states, right? To come and do a meeting. And the guy professed to a point and looked at him and said, an apostolic calling upon your life. It's time. Go start your own. Amen. And the guy said, yes, I receive. I went yesterday and took his pastor's members to start a church. The problem is that the pastor he was pastoring under is a mafia, a spiritual mafia. No, that's not in a bad way. Someone that really understands ministry. He came to that city, did one meeting, swept all those people back. The other person's church packed up. See, today, he's out of ministry. Like, out of ministry. Because he can't go back to... Do you know what I'm saying now? And now he cannot start his own because all the members, he packed choir people and all of them just went back. You know why? There are prophetic words that should not come from anywhere. I ask you guys in first service, if... Don't do it, oh. Sit down. Don't do it. But if you are abroad and your wife is in Nigeria and your children, well, you will not be, you don't do it. Your brother, your wife, and children are in Nigeria. And if you want to reach them, reach your children, who will you reach them through? Your wife. Right? If you want to tell your child, I want you to change school, will you send somebody from the north that they don't know? And come and say, your name is this, your name is Emeka, your name, you know? No. No matter how accurate they are, it will not be wise for a father to send strange voices. Which is why a believer who does not have a local church has set himself up to be misled. Because there is no way God can reach you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? If God wants to reach you, maybe it has come to your inward witness, but he wants a man to bless you, where do we start from? If you are getting it wrong and he wants a man to stop you, where do we start from? So when God wants you up for increase, he puts you under a man and then he makes the man to speak over you. That is why I don't prophesy over people carelessly, right? I don't give counsels carelessly. But you see, my own people, like you people now, blessing cannot finish in this mouth. The Lord told me, he said, I've given you a commandment to bless. That's why if I meet you every week, I used to pray for you. If I'm done chatting with you, I can say God every time. And every time I say God bless, something is added to your life. It is the prophetic duty of a father to bless his children. Prophetic duty of a father. So by a prophet, who is that prophet? Moses. God led Israel out. By a prophet. So sir, but why did God use Moses? Can't they pray and be free by themselves? Well, the result of their prayer was that God sent Moses. So if the result of the prayer praying for your spiritual growth is that you met this church. That's the truth. So the press, I told you, 2020 I was praying, Father, much more finances. The Lord said, what you are looking for, only your father can give it to you. Oh man, thank God I had one. Imagine God says that to you. Say, only a father can give it to you. I said, which one? Thank God I had one. And I just wrote a text. That's why I said, when God sends people to your life, they are not there to reduce you. It's not people that are answering spiritual father and you have to pay money to see them. The person that pays the bigger money is the spiritual son. No. I just sent a text message. Good evening, sir. God said, I was praying and the Lord put it in my heart that you have a blessing for me that will change my financial life. He said yes. I woke up the next day. Powerful response. I took that word and stayed on it, and my life changed. I will tell you this story 5,000 more times because it's a real thing that happened to me. How that a prophetic blessing can change a man's life. Now, this particular last point does not stand on its own. Right? There is every other thing. There is relationship. There is discipline. There is diligence and every other thing. But this one's still there. What I mean is, I'm not saying once your pastor prays for you, just be lazy, don't even pray. He has prayed, everything will be fine. Mm-mm. No instruction from God's word stands on its own. I get the point. Word of God demands holistic obedience. So I'm not saying once pastor, because that's an extreme. Once pastor prays for you, ooh, don't even pray again, don't have prayer life. Anytime you need prayer, tell pastor, pray. Ah, that's the problem. Nothing will work, because even when pastor prays, your own prayer life has to come into play. I showed you that on Thursday, right? Where Paul said, strive together in prayer for me. Let's pray with me. So when I speak over you, you take those things and go and pray with them. Are you ready? Glory to God. Stand your feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ooh. my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so. Pela Coranda Kayanda. For you that the Lord will increase you. Listen, every time I speak words like this over you, don't you wonder, are you not tired every time you used to say these things? What I know is that every time I say it, something is added. Something is added. Something is added. May the Lord increase you. May the Lord supply that which is lacking. If it's a relationship lacking, may the Lord supply it. If it is ideas lacking, may the Lord supply it. If it is ideas lacking, may the Lord supply. Thank you, Lord. If it is finances lacking, may the Lord supply it. If it is strength that is lacking, may the Lord supply strength. If it is wisdom lacking, may the Lord supply wisdom. May that which is lacking be supplied. In the name of Jesus. May your increase begin even now. May the Lord perfect everything you've been working on. That which you've been moving towards slowly, may the Lord hasten it up for you now. May the things that have been happening slowly around your life begin to happen with a faster pace now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, because I'm seeing a cycle of increase, a cycle actually of inflow. But then it's very slow. It comes and after 2 months, it comes again after 2 months. But now, I'm seeing it happen every week. Every 2 weeks. It's happening more often now. It's happening more often now. The contracts are coming more often now. The jobs are coming more often now. The beroda, the breakthroughs are coming more often now. In the name of Jesus. And what must be cut off from you is cut off this moment. What must be removed from you is removed this moment. From one height to another. From one level of progress to another level of progress. May reduction be far from you. The foul devil that brings reduction, you are cut off from the way now. In the name of Jesus. Increase has come. Increase has come. I stand in my prophetic office and I declare these words. That none of you shall be small. None of you shall be small. None of you shall be small. The Bible says a small one shall chase a thousand. That will become you. That the smallest person among us shall become a thousand. In the name of Jesus. We are increasing on every side. And business owners, the Lord said I should pray for you. You have a business that is still an idea. Or you started it but it's still at its infant stage. The Lord said I should speak over you like I did in the first service. So if you're in that category, please raise your hand. A new business, either one that is still budding or one that has started, has not even started, but then it's just there. You're working on paper. I'm not talking about you just want to. I mean, you're already working. You're working towards it. The Lord said I should say that which is small in your hands shall not become big. That which is small in your hands shall not become mighty. And I put upon your business a multiplication effect. In the name of Jesus. That from now you begin to spread on every side. You begin to spread on every side. And I remove from you the things that reduces you. The friends that reduce you. The habits that reduce you. That addiction that reduces you is removed from your way now. In the name of Jesus. Additions from your ancestry, additions from the flesh, additions from the devil, they are hereby cut off from you in the name of Jesus. Only the increase of God shall you have. In the name of Jesus, let this growth begin now. Lord, I asked you at the beginning of this month that you don't just give these ones a miracle, that you bring them into an experience that will change their lives forever. Let it begin now. Let it be a progressive thing, a consistent thing. In the name of Jesus, you will look back to this month and you will return with a testimony. May the Lord prove to you, show you again and again that there is a calling in this place by giving you what you are looking for. May the angels that have been assigned to work with me, even in this commission, may they go forth and orchestrate things for your own good. In the name of Jesus, you will walk into divine coincidences. You will walk into the right relationships. You will walk into the right ideas. New jobs are coming. New contracts are coming. More souls are being won. So if I need an uplift in your spiritual life, it has come for you right now. The right people are coming your way. You will make the right choices. You will make the right decisions. In the name of Jesus, may that which can only be delivered by the fatherly blessing be delivered unto you. May you stand out by this blessing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because I know that by the end of this year, these words would have spoken. We would have had these words become flesh in our hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you receive those words? Now show that you receive them. Come on, receive them now. Listen. It's not just for you to rejoice. Receive it, like I've told you, is an active thing. So how do you receive? You receive with your words, you receive by action. So have you received these words? Are you ready for the increase God is bringing your way? Now begin to receive these words already. Begin to shout and rejoice. And rejoice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did this service bless you? Glory to God. It's actually getting better. And better. And better. God will make us better. God will make us bigger. God will increase us. God will remove reduction from our paths. I told you the last time, God does not call anybody to reduce the person. God doesn't invite you to make you smaller. He invites you to make you bigger. This is one of the confidence I have. Anything God said I should do, I do it because I know He makes me better. If I have any illegal way, and I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost, if you had any illegal way of getting money, and God is saying it's okay now, stop it. Don't think He wants to do that. He wants you to do that so that you can begin to suffer. Mm-mm. At first, it may look like that, but eventually, He doesn't call you to reduce you. He calls you to make you better, and you shall become better. He gets better and better and better. Do you want to shout a big amen? And one last thing, I prayed over them in the first service. That thing which is in your life, always taken from you, is thereby removed. Some of it is an ill health. It's a sickness that always takes you to the hospital, that always makes you spend and spend. That door is shut right now. That every door the devil has opened in your life through which you keep losing money, that door is shut right now. In the name of Jesus, things will get better. In Jesus' name we pray. Give the Lord a big shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.